Hello, City Church. This is City Church Together for Friday, January 21st. Hope you're well today. I am Trevor, and today our Bible reading takes us to four different passages in the City Church reading plan. But today we're going to look at a little interplay between Matthew 21 and Acts 21. So I'm just going to read one parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 21. And then I will reference Acts 21, but I'm not actually going to read it. I hope you have time to read that today or have in your daily Bible reading plan. So here we go. This is Matthew 21. I'm going to read verse 28 through verse 32. Jesus says, "What do you think? A man had two sons," which is totally Napoleon Dynamite. "What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'My son, go to work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I don't want to.' But later he changed his mind and went. Then the man went to the other and said the same thing. 'I will, sir,' he answered, but he didn't go. 'Which of the two did his father's will?' They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. But when you saw it, didn't even change your minds, and then and believe him.'" That is the word of the Lord from Matthew 21. I like to refer to this parable as one of the least referenced, least known parables that Jesus tells. And to me, it is absolutely striking. It is so simple, and yet illustrates such just everyday truth, right? So let's talk about this verse, and then I want to talk a little bit these verses, this parable, and then I want to show you some of how that relates to Acts 21. So what's going on in Acts 21 in the scripture that I didn't read, but hopefully you read today, is you have Paul, who, remember, Paul was a Pharisee. So he was a Jewish higher up, one of the religious leaders. And Paul was persecuting Christians. In other words, he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah at first blush. And then he has this encounter with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everything flips for him. In other words, Paul is a guy who at first said no to Jesus, but then later went and did what Jesus called him to do. And he is incredibly resilient character in the scripture, and an incredibly bold witness for Jesus in the scripture. Okay, so in Acts chapter 21, Paul is going to Gentiles to basically preach the gospel to Gentiles and allowing Gentiles to come into the kingdom of God. And this riot happens in the Jewish temple because of that fact, because the Jews in that temple do not like the fact that Paul is allowing Gentiles to enter. So a riot happens and they actually beat Paul up. So that's what happens in Acts 21. Now let's go back to this parable. Jesus says the man had two sons. The first son he went to and he said, "Go work in the vineyard." That son said, "I don't want to. I'm not going to do it." But then he actually went and worked. The second son said, "I absolutely am going to get out there and work, Father." But then he never actually went. And so Jesus just poses this simple question in verse 31 of chapter 21. Which of the two did his father's will? And the crowd responds, "The first one." And Jesus' response to them is very interesting because he brings up this idea of tax collectors and prostitutes. And he says, in other words, those are two archetypal professions that would immediately qualify something without knowing anything else about them. What do? You're a tax collector. Ah, you are the worst possible sinner. There is no redemption for you. And prostitute, ah, we're the worst possible sinner. There's no redemption from you. So those are archetypal. I'm assuming, well, it would be an assumption. I was going to say I'm assuming male and female, but that's an assumption. I don't want to bring that to you without the proper research. seems to me that it would be archetypal male and female, like beyond like male tax collectors, female prostitutes. So he says, truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. In other words, it is the tax collectors and prostitutes that represent the people that said, I don't want to go into the vineyard, but then did anyway. And it would be these religious leaders, these Pharisees, who represent the people who say, I certainly will, but don't do it. And Jesus makes the point there at the end of verse 32. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. But you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds and believe him. All right? So let's talk now about in our Here journal. So that's our highlight. We highlighted those verses and explain them. And let's talk about application. One of the ways that I see an application is a thinking through, and this is an ongoing process for me, and I think for all the leaders of our church, thinking through how we measure success. I even hesitate to use the word success. How we measure spiritual maturity, or to what degree do we celebrate what markers along a life of following Jesus. Now, I grew up in a conservative evangelical church, which I love. Not what I'm talking about, the, like that's the environment I grew up in. And what I was taught, and it's and this is biblical, is that we should rejoice in one's profession of faith in Jesus. And I totally agree with that. I think baptism is set up as one of those markers in a person's life. Yes, you are professing faith in Jesus. However, what often happens is, and I think how the shadow of a system that celebrates the front end of a relationship with God is that because we learn to celebrate the front end of a relationship with God, we end up oftentimes celebrating the son that says, I will. In fact, with our baptism, I mean, that's one of the questions you ask. Will you go wherever Jesus calls you to go? I will go where Jesus calls me to go. And we celebrate that, and we get sort of addicted to that celebration. And we learn this is what we celebrate in the church, the original I will go. The Isaiah 6 moment, who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Yes, celebrate that. What often happens, though, is that we miss the life that follows that and the sort of celebration and honoring of the lives that follow that. Okay, now if I take Jesus' parable here, what he says is the one that does the Father's will is the one who actually does the Father's will. In other words, he shifts the importance on the actual living out of the Father's command, not on the saying, I will live out the Father's command. You understand what I'm saying out there? Like this is not disparaging like celebration of baptism. Like I am all for that. Instead of saying get rid of one for the other, because the ideal, and I think Jesus would probably say this, the ideal is to have people that say, I will to the Father and then also do it. Like that is, you know, that's a yes and amen. Jesus sets up this dichotomy because of the people that he's dealing with, because he's dealing with hypocrites who will not accept people who have at first told Jesus no, like the tax collectors and the sinners, all right? So the ideal is people that say, I will, to Jesus, and we celebrate their baptism. We say, yes, profession of faith. But then we don't get so sort of hooked on that celebration that we just go out and try to create as many I wills as we possibly can. Let's get another I will. Let's get, yes, another I will. And then let's teach the people who get those I wills to go get another I will and another I will and another I will, until all of a sudden we just have a bunch of people gathered together who are just saying I will, but they aren't actually going out into the vineyard to work. Now I'm not going to break down what all that metaphor necessarily means right here. My point is they are not engaged in a life of actually doing what Jesus commands. We just keep chasing the I wills. And Jesus' point here is like, listen, the I will is not even the biggest deal. The biggest deal is, will you follow me? And I think my experience, at least in church, has been that that's where the drop-off happened, because it's a lot harder to measure. Because the working in the vineyard often does not happen in a moment. In a singular moment, I can be baptized. In a singular moment, I can say, yes, I would like to follow Jesus. In a singular moment, I can pray a prayer. What can't happen in a singular moment is a lifetime of following Christ. That becomes much more complicated in terms of, how do we celebrate that? How do we highlight that? How do we honor that? And you guys know, you know, if you don't celebrate it and you don't honor it, that can kind of be a turnoff from people doing it. Because we want the spotlight. We want what is celebrated and honored. Where am I going with that? You know, is there anything particular in City Church that I think needs to change? I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just taking this passage and telling you what I see. But I do know the sort of culture that we have been in and come from, which is one that can find ourselves celebrating the I will and never really celebrating the going and doing. We see that in Paul in Acts 21, a person who at first said no, but then ends up out in the vineyard for a long time doing the Father's will. We see that in Acts 21 in the Gentile, in the Jews who are stopping the Gentile Christians from entering the temple, who don't want them there because that, but they end up becoming the people who say I will to the Father, but not doing the love that's required of them. And you have the tax collectors and prostitutes, or Gentiles in this case in Acts 21, that end up at first saying no to God because they don't know him and then coming in. So we need to keep our eyes open for celebrating the maturity of the Christian in other people's lives, in celebrating people following Jesus and walking with Jesus. This upcoming series that we're doing starting on Sunday, where we are teaching spiritual habits. I'm going to challenge you to do in this series. I'm going to challenge you to take up, and instead of just saying, yes, I will, putting into practice some things that help you to commune with God, to know him, to hear his voice, and to listen to him. So remember the parable of the two sons. This one really sticks with me. The ideal is to say, I will, and then do it. But if you have to choose between saying I will and not doing it, or saying I won't and then eventually doing it, Jesus makes very clear here, the former is a lot better than the latter. Let's be silent now and respond to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, don't let us miss you. Don't let us miss your kingdom because we are satisfied with the words that come out of our mouth that say, I will. Or we're satisfied with that we've been through the step of baptism. Or we're satisfied that we have prayed a prayer to receive Christ or raised a hand at, you know, a youth retreat. Please, God, for every person who can hear this podcast, your Holy Spirit, don't let them be satisfied with an I will. Instead, let them find their satisfaction in communing with you as they do the work that you've called them to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. City Church, go and multiply the gospel.